Welcome to Red Inca. I'm Jared Kimber. This episode of Red Inca, we discuss the Ghost Leagues of France. And for that, we get on a real player and the writer who wrote the story.
Hi, my name's Peter O'Brien. I'm a journalist and presenter for France 24.
Alex Brosin, I'm a French cricketer.
We talk fake leagues, French cricket, New Caledonia, whether the team should ask for their kit back, the suspensions, and how can you play a cricket match in only 10 minutes. Beautiful. Let's start with this, Peter. Tracy Rodriguez started turning up to cricket grounds and there were no matches being played. Kind of sounds like a weird, bad horror movie, but explain to me how this all began.
That's right. So about a year ago, I started hearing stories about cricket matches not taking place, which were meant to be taking place around France. Started talking to a number of clubs and former and current cricketers around France. And this, it became quite clear that this was a very widely held belief. We came to coin this ghost cricket at France 24. So I talked to Tracy, former French international cricketer, who was also on the board at France Cricket, who told me that she was raising questions on the board as to why there were matches being validated as having taken place, which didn't actually take place, and sort of told me how she was essentially shut down over this or sort of told not to look into it too much. She then started going to matches and seeing with her very own eyes that they weren't taking place as scheduled. Now, talking to her made me realize that actually this was something directly to do with the funding of cricket in France, because I believe it's still the case that cricket is funded on a 50-50 basis between men and women in associate nations like France. So if you can prove that you've got a certain level of women's cricket going on, it allows you to unlock more funds from the ICC. I thought this would be a fantastic France 24 story. It's to do with a small sport in France, which isn't played by many people, but it's a global sport and it has implications with associate cricket around the world. And also in terms of the level of funding actually taking place, it's not nothing. You know, it's hundreds of thousands of US dollars a year going into the sport in France. And it's also, for me, an interesting story to do with the relationship between French authorities, French people, with kind of what they would consider a foreign sport. And it's a very misunderstood sport here. If you talk to French people, they'll think it's croquet or polo a lot of the time and not cricket. So I thought it was an opportunity to shed light on this, to also maybe introduce the concept to more French people. And so I went with Gregor Thompson, another journalist at France 24, to some of the matches last year to see if they were taking place, namely the semi-final and the final of the women's second division, and we were able to capture these on camera and find that men were playing instead of women. So it clearly was not the semi-final and final of the women's second division that was taking place. Nevertheless, the matches were rubber stamped by France cricket afterwards, and we go into a lot of detail in the investigation that we published in November as to how this system might have come about.
Before we get to that, you contacted the teams because you were there. Yeah. You saw there were no games there and you contacted the clubs. You got two different responses from the clubs, right?
Yeah, that's right. We got a mixture of responses, some saying that the games had moved, some just sort of blanket denying that they were involved in fake matches. And actually, in the latest report that we released on Friday, there's more evidence of ghost matches. And in that case, the club's president was saying that it was up to the club captain where responsibility fell. So what we kind of see is this handing off of responsibility, right? So you contact France Cricket, they say, we're just getting it from the umpires. You contact the clubs who are responsible for umpiring, they say, we're not involved in that. Oh, or it's the club captain. So you kind of get this passing of the baton all the time, and it's very difficult to find a reason as to why these matches aren't taking place. And the vast majority of people tell me that it's because there simply aren't enough women playing cricket in France.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would have thought this is not the best way of fixing it, having fake games. But part of all this is the, in order to make sure the ICC funding, they have to look like they are playing as many women's games as possible, right? So we understand that part. And but the way that France Cricket decided to implement that is an interesting one, which is if you didn't have a women's game being played, you would be fined €200 and then it would go up to €300 if everything else. So the first year that this happened, a lot of French clubs were fined quite a lot for not having women's teams. And then the next year seems to be when we start to get these ghost teams existing, which is probably just a way of making sure that no one gets fined, right?
Yeah, it could just be a strategic miscalculation, right? You could have this recognition, the ICC is going to reward us if we have women's teams in all matches. But let's say to our top clubs, you have to have a women's team. How can we make sure they do? Well, if they don't, we'll find them. And you can kind of see how that arises as a system. Now, as you say, where it gets complicated is when clubs start to realise that these are amateur clubs and they're getting fined, I think, up to €1,000 for some of the finals. And, you know, if they can't field these teams. So you start to see very quickly how there is a strong incentive to post fake results. So this is the big question mark, is why when you tell France Cricket this is happening, and why when I give them weeks to respond to our investigation and say maybe they're doing something about it or looking into it, I get no response. And when we publish it, then they publish a response denying responsibility or saying that it's the umpire. So that is, for me, is the big question mark. It's clearly going on, according to all of the sources that I've talked to. The question is, why is nothing being done about it?
Alec, there's two divisions, right? There's Division 1 and Division 2. As far as we can tell, Division 1 exists, and I'm assuming you've played in it or seen it being played. Those are real women playing real cricket games. And then there's Division 2, of which just seems to be names on scorecards and ghost matches.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Names on the scorecards and people that we've tried to meet as the first division were always happy to have new teams playing as well and supporting women that want to play cricket. So we've requested several times to have the names of the people that were playing in Division 2, have maybe some contacts so we could contact them and organize matches even between ourselves, even if it's two different divisions. And we were always shut down by France Cricket, saying, no, that the level is so low that it wouldn't be that interesting for you. So there is no point in giving you the contact information. So for me, that raises the question, did they actually have the contact information? And honestly, from the investigation that Peter and all of the journalists have done, it seems that it didn't exist. So they didn't want to give any contact information.
And Peter, the ICC were obviously contacted. I think they didn't get back to you directly. They got back to Alison Mitchell, and their response to the original article was that everything was fine.
Let me just come back very quickly on the domestic women's tournaments this season. This season, we've now got one adult women's tournament, which is a Coupe de France. So it's no longer Division 1, Division 2.
Yep.
Because Nantes, for instance, left France Cricket after the allegations. And one of the other clubs is not sort of has one foot in, one foot out with regards to the women not being wanting to be part of it and the men wanting to still be part of it. So now we've got a division of 10 teams allegedly playing in this tournament. But I have to say the first match day was meant to be Saturday and both matches were postponed. I don't know why, but read into that what you will. In terms of the ICC's response, I didn't get anywhere with ICC spokespeople who were very, very chatty at the start of the investigation. And by the time we'd compiled all the evidence, we did get a response saying that they were happy with the data that France Cricket was providing and that they audit it. And then in terms of this latest piece that we've done on the fate of the women's national team and the fact that it's essentially collapsed, which maybe we can talk about as well, the ICC didn't respond to me on that, though they have been in touch with Alison Mitchell, the BBC's Stump podcast, and essentially repeated that it's members that are fully responsible for their data, but that the ICC audits it. For me, that's a paradox. How can you say a member is fully responsible, but also say that you're auditing it, because that implies that you also have some responsibility. Also, it's the ICC's funds. You know, it's their money. So obviously they have responsibility for what they do with it. So for me, it's a bit of a paradoxical response. And I've certainly not heard of any of the people that I've spoken to having been in touch with the ICC recently. You know, they've been in touch with France cricket and they seem to be happy with what France cricket have given them.
Alec, the women's team was going along fine, was playing cricket and everything. So tell me what women's cricket was like in early 2023 before all this started to come to light.
Well, we were playing, we went to play in different tournaments. We were, so in 2023, there were 17 or 18 different women that played for the French team. We played Nation Series against Austria in May. I mean, it was going well, honestly. The level was increasing quite a lot. We were planning to go to Jersey to play the Division 2 qualifier, or Division 1 qualifier, sorry. I can't remember which one. But the Division qualifier for the World Cup. So that happened as well. And there was a tournament planned in December as well in Malaga. I think it was the first ECN women's tournament. So that did not happen. So one of the results of the open letter that the players, so 17 of the players from the French team, wrote an open letter basically asking for full clarity on the allegations that Peter Zasikel put in light. And the result of that was that without any communication to any of the team members that was supposed to play in December in Malaga, the French team was removed and an England A team was put in a place in the tournament in Malaga in December. And we learned that by the social media of the tournament. There was absolutely no communication to any of the players. Really, the level of respect that you get from France cricket right now is that you don't even have any communication on it.
Well, so just on all that, to make the letter... And you know, it's an open letter, so obviously everyone had access to it.
Yes.
You weren't, it's not that you're accusing anyone of this happening. It was more, there has been a report, here are all the details, we would like this to be, we would like an investigation to have, to come from that. I would assume as players, you all got together and decided on the wording and made sure that it was in the correct way. Are you shocked at how France cricket has reacted to what was a fairly benign letter from the players involved?
I'm not, because we actually sent them the letter before we published it and told them we were going to publish, and we were hoping that they would give an answer to Peter's article before we would publish our letters. And we gave them about a week. We told them that's the letter that we want to send. We're going to send it, or we're going to publish it in all of our social media in a week. Can you provide an answer to Peter's article before that? So maybe we don't have to publish it if we agree with the response. And that was basically met with some unofficial from France Cricket calling to say that we should not publish that, that if we were publishing this, he couldn't protect us anymore, that there would be repercussions for us. But obviously, we published it anyway, and the repercussions are the ones I just explained, where we were removed from the December tournament last year.
So you were removed from the December tournament, and have all the players from the letter been officially suspended, or have they been shadow banned, or have they just stopped returning your calls? How has that gone about?
Not that they were returning a lot of them before, but we've had no communication at all from France Cricket. So the way we learned that we were suspended is that two of the players showed up at training. So that was after the December tournament. Two of the players showed up at training. So training on a Thursday with the men in Paris. And towards the end of training, one of the officials, again, from France Cricket showed up at training and put them aside and told them that none of the players that signed the letter were welcome to any of the trainings anymore, and that we were all suspended until further notice.
I mean, associate cricket in general is small communities,
yes.
Right? And women's cricket even more so in associate. Everyone knows everyone. You're all there because you love the game. I'm going to assume you're not quite on the same amount of money as Virat Kohli to play for the French French women's team.
We actually spend money to be able to play, yeah.
And so this is something you're passionate about. How does it feel to see these people take that away from you for nothing else other than you say there's obviously an issue here, we need to get to the bottom of this? It must be quite hurtful.
Well, hurtful, disappointing, frustrating, unfair, making you want to drop everything. Yeah, it's a lot of different feelings, to be honest. And what I really don't appreciate as well is that the people that have told us not to publish the letter, they kept saying, yeah, but you don't realize what I've done for you, what I've done for women's cricket, and what you're gonna let go of. But they never took a second to put themselves into our shoes and see it from our point of view as well. And what we are giving up, the money we're spending, the time we're spending on it, the time away from our families, from our friends, from anything else. So, yes, we are all passionate about it. We all really, really want to play for our country. And some of us even turned a blind eye to some of the things we knew were happening before the article was published. But we really couldn't do that anymore. So you basically, and I'm not the one who said that, it's Poppy, another player. She put it a very, very nice way. She said, you basically either play and follow their rules, and you play in an ethical way, and or you stay with your ethics and what you think should be done and the fairness of it, and then you don't play. So you basically put the burden on you, and the issues are all on you as well, because you don't get to play. But we feel, at least the ones that signed the letter and decided not to register to play this year, we feel that that's the right way to move forward with women's cricket, because we need a deep change in France if we want women's cricket to really develop long time. And we're not seeing this change. We're not seeing any questioning from the French cricket boards. They don't think they're wrong. They don't think they made a mistake. For them, there is no issue. They've done everything they were supposed to. They've given us all of the opportunities according to them, and they don't see where there is a problem. So for us, that's the biggest issue, really, is that there is nothing, no questioning from the board on their actions. And it's never, as Peter said, it's never their fault. It's the fault of the umpires. It's the fault of the captains. It's the fault of the clubs that are giving the wrong results. So that makes me question the integrity of some of the people that are in the board right now.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence. Well, Peter, obviously French cricket is quite small, and so when you first start following the story, you sort of think to yourself, well, the board's trying to do a great thing. They're trying to get more women involved in cricket. And then they put maybe a slightly stupid fine system in. And then the teams are like, oh, we're going to go under it. But it's all the same people, right? Some of these clubs who are quite clearly involved in these ghost leagues and not playing these games are the same people who are running France cricket. And everyone knows what is happening. As Alex said, that there are people who were turning a blind eye at times because they didn't want to look at it. But it's quite clear that it's happening. This isn't like one rogue person. It's a problem with the whole system.
Mm. Yeah, I think you just have to look at this week. We've got an ECN tournament going on in Dreux, which is one of the clubs at the heart of France cricket, and one of their board members. And that was where the final of women's second division that we verified did not take place as scheduled happened last year. And at the moment, it's being broadcast on the ECN as if absolutely nothing has happened. So yeah, it's clearly a systematic issue. And if you look at who's left the board as well, you've got a lot of women like Marjorie Guillaume, former CEO, Tracy, Lara, who's in the latest report, who were on the board questioning things that were going on and are no longer there. So I think that says it all, really.
Yeah. And Peter, tell me about this 10-minute match that was played. That's a hell of a quick... I've covered some quick cricket games in my time, but 10 minutes seems to be pushing it. It takes me longer than that to put my pads on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wasn't at this one specifically. This was Edward Hoyle of Chantilly Cricket Club who sent me these photos, and you can quite clearly see that when these matches are meant to be taking place, you've got... first of all, you had, as you say, that 10-minute match that took place, and Edward said it wasn't like any cricket match he'd seen before particularly. And I think in C1, the pictures, you've got some people just sitting around inside the boundary rope. and then later on, when you're supposed to got, I think, three other matches taking place, he was there to relay the wicket. You know, it's not a turf wicket, it's an artificial one. So they were working on that. And
they peeled the AstroTurf off, right? So it would be very hard for the game to go ahead at that stage.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this isn't to sort of criticise whatever women's cricket there can be being played in France. Mm. It's just to be upfront about that. Look, if you've only got... if you've only got a certain number of players who might be very, very part-time or students or very young or who can't play hard ball, I feel that's kind of the thing that you would need to be supporting rather than imposing a tournament which is impossible to play.
And so it seems like the latest fix is, this is the bit I was absolutely shocked at in the recent article. Seems like the recent fix is to import a cricket team from New Caledonia, which is, I suppose, it might be the most foresight this cricket body has come up with so far. That, for all their issues, you have to give them that. That one wasn't on my list. But how does that come about, Peter? And it feels like they've just given up on the women players in France and have just gone to a territory of France and recruited a new team.
You've got to be very, very careful here, Jared, because especially in France, when you're talking about these overseas territories and collectivities, we have to, it is part of France. Of course, it's part of France. That's the first thing to say. So import? No. They're not importing cricketers. They're finding French women who play cricket. And to their credit, that's exactly correct. I have not been there, but from what I hear and from speaking to people over there, there is a lot of cricket played over there by women. So in France, that's unheard of. That's completely unheard of. It's just that they play a traditional version of the game. So the bat and the ball are both made out of the sap of the banyan tree. Yeah. And it's a different form of cricket. They play in traditional dress, I believe. I'm absolutely not an expert on
this. There's lots of these versions of cricket throughout the islands from right around, from New Zealand, north of Australia and everywhere. Fiji has versions of this. So it's very, and we've seen with Papua New Guinea that, there are versions of that as well. So there is that before. But Peter, when I say import, what I mean by import is, did they not realize these women were playing cricket earlier when they had a national team?
Well, they did actually. And this is the thing in the article. I mean, you can see that they've been thinking about it for years as a potential way to supplement, bolster. I don't know why these things probably take a while to actually, organize. But I think, and I don't know if it was already planned this trip, but you had a couple of members of the France Cricket president and CEO, with some of their family members, went over there. You can see in local press from New Caledonia, actually, that this was claimed to be a sort of holiday. I don't know if that was a joke or not, but they end up shaking hands with the local sports minister and with the local cricket committee head, and then bringing this cricket head, Jean-Marc Illy, over to France for the, which he was apparently on holidays with his family as well. I don't know. But he goes to France Cricket's AGM, and there the chair of France Cricket is saying that essentially... with a drive to recruitment ahead of the next World Cup qualifiers. They were looking at New Caledonia for the women playing cricket there. Now, what's interesting to me is if you look at the agreement that was signed, because they did sign an agreement, France Cricket is not allowed to pick women who play this traditional form of cricket. I don't know how much internationally recognised standard cricket is played there. I suspect there is a bit. But there's this tournament in Noumea, the capital of New Caledonia, planned for September. And I think there will be an attempt to sort of convert or retrain some of these women in the international form of the game.
Alec, I mean, it feels, and Peter's being very lovely and journalistic the way he's put it, but it feels from my perspective as someone who doesn't care about cricket boards at all, that essentially what they've done is they've burned one load of women and they have very quickly pivoted to another load of women to bring them over. That's not to say this isn't a great thing for the women in New Caledonia and for women's cricket in France. It could be an absolutely brilliant thing. But it does feel like they've just gone, oh, well, we can't pick any of these women anymore because of this letter. So we have to go and find a group of women who will play for us.
Yeah, it sure feels that way. But for me, it's something else that bothers me there. Obviously, it's great to see players from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And if you can have, given the number of women that apparently play that form of traditional cricket in New Caledonia, if you can have a few very good players that come out of there, honestly, it's great from the French team. I'm very happy for the French team. That's great for anyone that can play and wants to play for France. But where I have an issue is that what are we doing in developing younger girls and women and developing cricket from the start, from where people are still very young, and maybe in mainland France where it's a bit easier to play against other neighboring nations as well. It does feel to me like, yeah, we had 15, 20 players that we could pull from to play for the French team. They're gone. They don't want to support the regulations and the rules that have been enforced by France cricket. So we're going to go and get some from somewhere else. But there is no desire to develop women's cricket in France long term. That's what those actions make me think. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks that. So again, great that we can get some players that are coming from there. But in the long-term view, there is nothing from France cricket. There is no plan, no development, nothing that's been set up for them, for women and for girls in schools. And we all know that for the sport to be developed long-term, you need an organic development. You can go and sign partnerships with organizations, whomever they might be, however good it might be. You need to have an organic development that comes from a younger age if you want to improve the level of cricketers in France as well.
Peter, this is part two. We're up to part two of your story. How many more parts do you see developing from here?
Well, you might know that it's not really meant to be my day job. I'm tech editor at France 24. I think it pushes the French channel's buttons a little bit, the fact that I'm doing this so much. I don't know. What I'm interested in now is figuring out if things are going on in other associate nations. I'd be really interested in that story. So if anyone listening has any leads for me, then let me know. But I don't know. I plan to keep an eye on it. For instance, I would have loved this weekend to go to, the women's matches were postponed, but we had junior matches organized this weekend as well. And there were allegations around the junior tournaments. So I'd love to go and investigate this stuff more. But it's a question of time. So I don't know, I'm afraid. I don't know if there'll be any more parts or if there'll be 20 more parts. We'll see.
And how long have you been playing cricket?
I don't play cricket. Oh, sorry.
I've been playing cricket for about 8 years. So I live in Belgium. So I started playing in Belgium. I started playing for the Belgian national team. And then just after COVID, at the request of some of the French former board, I moved to the French team, and I also play for a club. So I play for Nantes, but obviously this year we might not have a lot of games as we are not affiliated to France cricket anymore. And I also play for a Belgian club called RBCC, and I now also play for a German club, the Blades in Krefeld, because I assume that there would be less games being played and less opportunities. So I joined the German club as well. So I do think that a lot of things are happening in other associate countries from what I can see in Belgium and in Germany, but the situation there seems to be a bit different though. So
you said there was no contact, but there was some contact between France cricket and the women's players because they sent a message asking for some of you to return your kit.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we received an email out of nowhere asking us to send back all of our kits, all of the players' kits, the white polos that we wear when we are outside of the pitch as well. Obviously offering no refund for all of the postal costs or anything like that. So just that we needed to give them back. So I don't know how many did, but the day they refund my cost, I'm happy to bring them back, but I am not going to go out of my way to do that.
Also, if I could just slightly anticipate, a response that might be eventually issued by France Cricket, they might try and argue that the fact that sporting director went and told two of the women that the whole team were no longer welcome, they could say, well, that was their official kind of, barring from the team. I don't know. And also they will no doubt point to an agreement that the women signed saying they're not meant to criticize the board or can be let go from the team. But as you say, the letter was very carefully worded, I think. And some of the women have told me that they didn't feel like they were criticizing specifically or anyone in particular. They were just asking for an investigation
questions.
For answers. Yeah.
We carefully worded it and on point because we didn't want to accuse anyone. That was really one of the reasons, because trust me, the first draft did not look like what we published. And we had a hard time having an agreement from everyone that what we published was going to be as blend, if I can put it this way, as what we published. Because at first, the reactions when we saw the article were absolutely not to just publish a request for a full-on investigation, whether it's from the ICC or from the French Ministry of Sports. But to be honest, I am quite disappointed at the response from the ICC that I saw on the article that Peter published on Friday, last Friday. For me, it's really disappointing to see that the only thing they did was audit records that they already had, so we can suppose they had already audited, so they did not investigate. That makes me question the thoroughness and the quality of the investigations that they're running, whether it's for France or for any other associate country, and whether they really want to see if there is any issue, or do they just want to put their head in the sand and say, no, there is no issue, we're moving forward, women's cricket is developing the way it should, and our statistics are good because of what comes out of associate countries. It really, really makes me question if they want to find any issue there. And I invite them to come. France Cricket has published a schedule of the 10-club France tournament that is supposed to happen. They publish the schedule. I invite them to come and see if the games are actually happening. That might give them a better insight as to what's actually happening in France.
And what are your hopes for the future of women's cricket in France?
You would have asked me that a few months ago. I would have said, hopefully there will be a good investigation from the anti-corruption unit of ICC, and there will be changes in the board and changes in the way women's cricket and youth cricket in general is looked at and is taken into account in France. Honestly, those hopes are really not as high as they used to be. So I'm still hoping that there will be a change and that France cricket as a whole, not just the board though, but also the clubs that are letting it happen, change their views and their ways of thinking and really put an effort in women's development. Whether it is developing continuing the development in New Caledonia, I don't think it's a bad thing again. It's just that for me, you should go into schools, and we all know how other associate countries have developed the game as well. You need to have more clubs, you need to have more women, you need to have more recruitment, and you need to start having recruitment even in the schools, and then have more opportunities to play domestically. Because really, really in France, up until last year at least, you basically had four teams. So we all know each other. We have all played against or with each other in France. All of the women, we know everyone. And that's why we know that what was published in November is true as well, because we've never had other women playing. And when we have a new woman playing, we are all on and 100% supporting whomever wants to play as well. So for me, I hope that France cricket will evolve, that the board will change, and that we'll have a board that is more inclined to actually organic development for women and youth cricket in France.
Thank you very much for both coming on the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.